Boy, I appreciate that this morning. I tell you, there's nothing like feeling the Holy Spirit deep inside. I mean, there's nothing like that. You can get excited about a lot of things, but there's nothing like the Holy Spirit when He comes and communes with you and lets you know when something's right or even lets you know when something's wrong. I appreciate having the interdwelling of the Holy Spirit. You know, in the Old Testament, they didn't have that. Well, I thank God I have it. I thank God that I can feel Him inside, and I hope you can this morning. I hope you know the Lord. I hope you're saved. If not, today would be a wonderful day for you to accept Him. I'll tell you what, if you will, let's be turning to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. It's wonderful to see this number this morning. Any visitors that we have, we're thankful that you're here. Ask that you make yourself at home. Have a announcement to make this morning. I know the end of next month, the last Sunday, I believe it's the 27th of August, is our homecoming, and I talked to Brother Jeff Wilson about coming to preach for us, and he got clearance, I guess you could say, or checked with the church, and there was no issues with that. So looking forward to have Brother Jeff with us, and known him for many years, and I know how we know him here and what have you. So he was honored to come, and I was excited about that, and so I wanted to announce that this morning, and kind of went in a couple of different places as far as trying to prepare for today, because I've had the opportunity to talk to some friends that I don't go to church with, but in like churches, and just hear a lot of things that's going on in churches around us or life around us. You know, just as far as a sign of the times goes, this isn't like a gossip session or anything like that, but I hear more and more of the same story in places near us, and I just want to say what you hear going on around us, if you're not careful, could be us. I was thinking this morning as I was studying and trying to prepare, you know, a lot of times, Brother Nathan, we look at things through our eyes and we look out, but we don't look in. We don't see ourselves sometimes. It's easy for us not to see ourselves, but we can look around and see on the outside things that are going on and how bad it could be for somebody else or what have you. And we kind of, if we're not careful, can be judgmental that way. We can look out that way and not look on the inside. But here's the thing. Today, if it's them, tomorrow it could be us. We need to be wise to that. We don't need to be deceived or anything like that. And this morning, that's what I want to preach on, is the topic of don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. It's amazing, again, how many times I talk to people and they read after this one or read after that one and kind of get ideas in their minds. And I want to share with you, and I say it probably every Sunday, but the importance of staying in the Bible when you're studying. If you really want to know what God has for you, go to God, not somebody else. Go to Him. That's the beautiful thing about having His Word in front of us, is being able to follow Him and go after Him. If you see here in 2 Thessalonians, this was the second letter that Paul had written to this church. And what he was afraid about was that this church was being deceived. The first letter that he wrote, he explained to them and gave to them that it was teaching on the day of Christ or the second coming of Jesus Christ. So he wrote the letter and gave a really, really detailed definition or explanation of how that was going to take place. What happened after that is false teachers came in and started teaching something that was contrary to what Paul had been teaching. You want to get somebody messed up, give them a choice as to believe this or believe this. Now you look at deception, and that's a really weird thing. I don't really know that there's a good way to deceive people, or that there is a good meaning behind deception. Now, what I mean by that, if a person really truly sets out to deceive somebody, I don't believe that it's harmless or that it's faultless. I believe it's normally to gain something from somebody. You look at it like that. You look at the word deceive, it means to ensnare, to cheat, or to rob. So if you go out to deceive somebody, you're going out to hurt them. Now there could be different motives, but there's not a good meaning or a good reason to deceive somebody unless you're up to no good. Would you agree with that? How many of you like to be deceived? I don't like that. Everybody shaking their head, no, I don't like that. I don't like that feeling. I don't like feeling like somebody's trying to pull the wool over my eyes. You know, what I see today a lot of times more than anything is people are afraid just to tell the truth. I think people are unsure of God's word, and I believe the reason behind that is they don't spend enough time in it to really stand on it. I believe that, you know, sometimes if you're talking to friends, maybe you yourself, you're like, I've heard this before, but maybe I'm not exactly right. The first thing you should do, I should do, is go back to God's word and find out where that scripture is and then stand on it. Not be wishy-washy about it or say, I don't know, or not be afraid just to say, I've had people say, what do you think about this? Whatever the topic may be, I'm like, well, let me go back and find the verse because I don't want to misquote it. My opinion means nothing. Can I tell you that this morning? My opinion is worth nothing. We all have opinions. We all have feelings. When I was, again, preparing for this, it came to my mind and in my heart, you know, when God wrote the Bible, he didn't have my feelings, or when God had the word exposed, or he was breathing on those to write it, he didn't have my feelings in mind. It was his righteousness, his word. This is how it is. It wasn't, now how are they going to accept this? Now, if I say this, are they going to believe this? It's, the truth is the truth, and it just stands as it is. That's how the truth works. The truth is the truth. The reality of how God set things up to be, that's just how it is. Now, your and my part in that is, do we believe that or not? It doesn't change the truth, but do we believe it or not? And you see here, Paul, he was trying to talk to these folks. He's trying to explain to them. These people were tore up. They were nervous and they were anxious because they had believed and they had been taught, based off of what Paul had taught in his first letter, that the day of Christ had not happened yet. The rapture hadn't happened yet. Well, guess what somebody come through and said? Somebody said the rapture's already taken place. He's already come back and you're here. Now, if somebody told you that today, how would you feel? Would that be unnerving to you based off of what you know? Maybe you don't know how to feel about that. I'm surprised, and not being mean, but I'm surprised at how many people I talk to that believes that the church will go through the rapture. Well, a person can believe what they want to believe, but that's not what the Bible teaches. It's not what it teaches. You see, that's what I'm saying. If we're not careful, you start reading after people and seeing things and hearing things and all this kind of stuff. You get confused. And what we try to do sometimes is see what makes sense to us. What we have to do is take God at His word. Do you understand me this morning? Taking God at His word. What He says is what stands. What He says is what you and I are to do. Now, if you go to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. We'll read these verses, we'll pray, and we'll get into it this morning. It could be kind of a heavy topic, and I'll try not to go too far, too quick. There's a lot of other scriptures that we could use, but I'll explain further as we go through why the Lord really laid this on my heart this morning. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, verses 1 through 3. It says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto Him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there be a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day that you've given to us, Lord, and just the wonderful privilege to be here this morning. What a blessing it is, God, to have your word, to be able to stand on it, to know the truth and have the truth. As they were singing this morning, Lord, just to be able to feel you in our heart, Lord, to know that we have victory in you, Lord, and just to stand on it, proclaim it, God, and not have to wonder about things or maybe worry about things we shouldn't be worried about, God, but just know that you've got it under control. God, I pray for each heart that's here this morning. I'm so thankful to see each one, each visitor. God, we just pray that you help them and wherever they're at in their life's journey, God, and what they're facing. God, I pray that you be with them, each member of our church, God. I pray that you be with them also, God, whatever it is that they're facing, those that are traveling. Lord, we miss them. God, those that are sick, God, we miss having them here with us. I pray for your protection over them. Lord, most importantly, those that are lost, God, that are listening. God, I pray that you touch their hearts. God, help them to see that need. Lord, help them to see and understand the urgency. Lord, I believe your coming is very soon and the time at hand, God. And I just pray, help us, Lord, just to see that urgency. Make it real to our hearts, God. I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we can see here what Paul, how he starts out. He starts out with an urgency. If there's one thing that seemingly I see a lack of in this day and time, it's urgency. I don't see a lot of worriedness as far as, and what I'm talking about as far as people is worried about maybe some of their lost folks. You say, preacher, I can't believe you're saying that. We just need to be real. I mean, we need to be tore up about lost people. I mean, absolutely tore up. I mean, what is more important than our loved ones that are not ready to go? Well, I mean, nothing is more important than that. Number one, are you ready to go? And then number two, if you're ready, is everybody that you know ready? What are we doing to ensure that? You say, well, it's not me. We have to share the gospel with people. We're the church. You can't rely on the world to do it. It's the church's responsibility. But you see here, this word beseech, that means to ask or pray with urgency. You see what he's doing here? He says, now we beseech you, brethren, he's talking to the brothers, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. He's again talking about the teaching of the day of Christ. If you look back at 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, look at verses 13 through 18. This should be very familiar. But he had to write this second letter because something already happened in between the first and the second letter. People had become confused. People had been taught differently. And Paul comes in a second time. Let me say, although the words, you don't see the word rapture in the Bible, being caught out is going to happen. And it's going to happen premillennial. It's going to happen before the tribulation period. The church is not going through the tribulation. I'll show you that this morning. I want us to see that. The reason you say, preacher, why are you harping on that? Well, here's the thing. If you watch movies today, you know what it shows? It shows people going through the tribulation, getting into the tribulation, then accepting Christ. You know, that's not how it works. It's not going to happen that way. I'll show you why. We've got scriptures that shows this. You know, I remember years ago, and I heard the stories. I wasn't there because I hadn't been born yet, but I remember when Preacher Carl was preaching this, older preachers would stand up or turn their back on him because they didn't believe it. You know what people say about the rapture? Oh, that wasn't even invented until the 1800s. It's always been here. He's not appointed the church unto wrath. What's that mean? The church is going to be called out before wrath takes place. I've got friends that tell me, you know what, preacher, I'm going to wait. I'm going to ride this thing out and see what happens. You know what they're telling me? They're telling me when all these people disappear, when they're called out, then I believe it's the rapture, then I believe it's real, then I'll get saved. Too late. It ain't gonna happen that way. You won't go. You'll see everybody else. It'd be too late for you. You see, there's a sense of urgency. The people here, they're trying to figure it out. Paul had just told them a certain thing, and now they're hearing something else. You know how many something else's there are in this day and time? Think about all the books that you could read. All the commentary that you could read. People today are more concerned about mental health than they are about your spiritual health. You know what that means? They want to tell you what you want to hear to make you feel better. They want to give you medicine to make you feel better. I think there's applications for things, but I tell you, if you want to feel better, you want to feel the Holy Spirit deep inside, that's what you want. I don't want to be lied to. I don't want to be misled. I don't want to be deceived. I don't want to be robbed of what God has for me. But 1 Thessalonians, this is what he's teaching here, chapter number 4, verses 13 through 18. It said, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, those that have already passed away, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. He's talking about those believers who have passed away, that have already gone into heaven, that are already secured in there. He's saying, I would not have you ignorant about this. And even though it's a sad thing, don't sorrow over it because you get to see him again. I'm giving you hope and a promise. you get to see them again. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, there it is, the gospel. The hinging part of everything that we believe and everything you have, we have, is the gospel. You have to know that. The death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the importance of his blood being shed, the ultimate sacrifice for our sin, the only sacrifice by which men can be saved. It's the only way. There's no other way. It's not Buddhist tomb and all these other things. I'll tell you, the more I get to talk to people who believe different things, it's just unreal. The deception that's out there. Man-made religions just to make people feel better. It's amazing. Do you see what the Bible teaches here? It says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, God will bring with him. He's going to bring him. Bring him where? Bring them where? You see movement. There's some movement that's taking place here. It didn't just say that we would just be somewhere else or what have you, but you see movement from him. You see movement from Jesus. For this we say unto you, the word of the Lord, that which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. The coming of the Lord. You see movement. The coming of the Lord. It's not going to prevent those that have already gone on before us. It's not going to stop him. He's going to bring them with us. Our loved one that's already gone on, he's going to bring them with us. You see movement there. Verse number 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. Now what does that mean? The Lord himself is, there's three heavens. The heaven that where God resides. Then you have space, and then you see the heavens that we can see. We can't see into heaven where God resides. What you see here in these verses that's being explained to us is that the Lord himself is going to descend, shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. You see movement from him. He's coming down. He's coming down. You look at the second coming, it's in two parts. You have the part of the rapture, then you have the tribulation period, and after the tribulation period, you have the actual second coming when Jesus himself steps foot on this earth. And then you see the millennial reign take place. I'm telling you, it could be very heavy this morning. I'm trying to keep it simple this morning. But you see what is going to take place. The dead in Christ shall rise first. You see how this movement is. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Now to me, that is very straightforward in what it teaches. Now this is not talking about taking place during the tribulation, after the tribulation. When the Lord comes back, you don't see that mentioned when he steps foot on this earth. If he's on this earth, then who are we being caught up to? Does that make sense? Now let's just break it down and just really look at this. I don't want anybody to be deceived. I know people have different plans and things. I've heard what people say, and I've heard a consistency of what people are saying. Well, the church is going to go through the rapture. It's not. We're going to be caught up in the air to be with him. That's talking about the church. You know, when you're with the Lord, you never lose. You're never out of his presence after that. So if you go to be with the Lord, then you're with him forever. Those that has gone on before us, what does it say? He's going to bring them with him. You're never out of his sight. So until he returns, then we have nowhere to be. We're waiting on his return. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout and the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Look at this again, verse 17. Then we which remain alive, which are alive remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Now it says here, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Now, for somebody to say that, you know, the rapture wasn't invented or what have you until the 1800s, they're misled. I don't care what a commentary is saying there. That's clear in what the Bible is telling us.
It's telling us that the church is going to be caught up,
that we're going to be caught up in the air to meet him. So Paul teaching here at the end of Thessalonians, it didn't take long. That's what he was teaching. And then what you have happen when you flip over the page, now you're back in 2 Thessalonians. It says, Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, by our gathering together unto him. That's what he's talking about. Our gathering together, the day of Christ. That's the teaching. That's Paul saying. Now, in regards to what we were doing, this is what we're talking about, the topic, the being caught together, called up together with him. It's talking about the day of Christ. It's talking about the rapture. Now, verse number 2, it says, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. So you see Paul's response here. He's saying, calm down and listen to what God's word is saying. People will tell you things. People will mislead you for whatever reason that they have. But he's saying, calm down and listen. This is the importance of knowing the facts of the Bible for yourself. Knowing and understanding things. Also to guard your mind to control the flesh. You know, when the Bible is teaching us things and showing us things, it's for a purpose. We'll be talking about spirits in a little bit. We mentioned that it was mentioned in Sunday school. But Paul is saying not to be troubled. There's a lot of troubled people. I've talked to a lot of people, even this week, that are just troubled about things. And I'm not saying that it's wrong to be troubled or be concerned, but there's a lot of things going on. A lot of things are being thrown at people today. And they're trying to figure out, trying to filter through what is right, what is wrong, which way should I go. I believe people want to try to do good and what have you, but then they could be misled. Misled through ignorance or being misled because they're naive about a certain thing. That's why it's important that you get in God's word for yourself and not just depend on somebody else to tell you what they think. That happens a lot of time. I've heard people who teach philosophy at the university say, we none know the truth, and I wouldn't listen to him after he said that. I was done. I believe I know the truth. I believe I have the truth. I wouldn't be here this morning if I didn't. Wouldn't be here. I'd be doing something else. This is the most important thing, to know the truth and to be able to stand on the truth. And he's saying here again, not to be deceived. You're soon shaken again, that you not be soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter, as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Number one, look at the spirit, it says here. The spirit, I believe that to be what is felt, the word, what is said, and the letter, what is written. And I was looking at the spirit. Brother Raymond mentioned that. You think about how during the day everything might be fine. You might be having a normal day and all of a sudden you just kind of feel down. Has that ever happened to you? It happened to me this week. Brandy, she was talking to me. She said, Jason, you just seem down. I said, I know. And I said, I don't know why. I don't feel like I'm upset about anything. I don't know that there's anything going on. I'm not upset about anything. But she said, you just seem down. I was like, yeah, I don't know why. Why is that? I mean, think about that. You think that what we see here is just all that there is. You think about the spiritual realm. You think that the devil would like to mess with you any way he could? Spirit of depression, spirit of this, spirit of that, spirit. I mean, there's a lot of things that we face. I've had good days, Brother Nathan. Everything's fine. I just start feeling down. And I try to get out of it. I'm like, Lord, help me. But you see, he gives us in his word the weapon to fight against those things. It's called spiritual warfare. And you know what's really wonderful about it? When you can have a downtime, he can send the Holy Spirit, he can lift you right back up and put you where you're supposed to be. Thank God for that. Humans are complex beings. We have a lot thrown at us. But let's just see what he's saying here. Seeing what's being taught by spirit. Now, 1 John 4:1, it says, Beloved, believe not every spirit. So that tells me that spirits come and they try to commune with you. They try to urge you one way or the other. You know what John says? John says, don't believe every spirit. Don't do that. I know people. I know a lot of people who are my friends that I'm concerned about are basically alcoholics.
That's their coping mechanism. Lord wouldn't have it to be that way.
Now, there's a lot of things that people face, depressions and different things. And I'm like, guys, there's a whole other world out there that God wants to have with you, a relationship. You think about the spirit of addiction. Think about what people are facing. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. That tells me there's spirits of God and then there's spirits of the devil. But try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world.
You know, a seducing spirit, we'll see that in a minute. Something is enticing you to do something that you shouldn't be doing, and you know it. I'm talking to Christians this morning. I'm not just talking to lost people. Christians, you ever been going throughout the day, and then all of a sudden something gets in your mind, and that thing just rides there, and it just sits there, and it's just like, I ain't supposed to do that. Does it just go away? To kind of sit there and ride on you, try to get you to do something that you shouldn't do. See, that's how the devil works on people. You know what the devil does, Brother Nathan? You know what he does? You could be having a good day, you could be trying to follow God, doing what he'd have, thinking about the same Monday morning, you're thinking about the service on Sunday, and you're trying to go through life, and you're dealing, all of a sudden this thought comes in your head. How can you think like that? Should be doing like that. Should be Spirit just lay on there, and you know what it'll do? It'll try to keep going until you do what you're not supposed to do. And you know what happens when you do what that spirit talked you into doing after that? It's got it. Look what he just did. And he's supposed to be a Christian. He goes down here about 11. Look what he did, Brother Mark. Look, and you know what happens? That stuff gets out and flies everywhere. It goes out. Look, you know the spirit, they laugh at you. It's not for anything good. It's to make a mockery. It's to make a mockery of what? God's word. But he's saying here to try the spirits. He's saying not being soon troubled. That means disturbed or agitated or annoyed by the spirit. False spirits. Many false prophets are going out to the world. How do you combat that? You take that spirit, you take Satan, you take that spirit, and you take it right back to God's word, and you say, this right here is the verse that says, we are not supposed to act like that by the authority of this word. I'm not going to do that. So you and I don't have power in and of ourselves. It's the Holy Spirit.
You know the devil can't compete with this. He can't go outside of this. That is our weapon. That's why you see here number two, by word, that which is written. Be careful what you read. Be careful or what is said. Let's go to number two, the word. What is said, be careful what you listen to on the TV, the radio, or commentary. I mean this. Very seldom, and I don't listen to a lot of radio anymore. I probably listen to talk radio probably more than just music maybe, but primarily if I'm in the car, I'm usually listening to the Bible app, listening to the Word of God, the King James Word of God. And, you know, I'm not trying to be dogmatical to the point that you're not going to hear what I'm saying, but a lot of times if you're listening to the radio, a lot of what you're going to hear is not going to be King James-based teaching. And I'm going to say this because it's important, because what you surround yourself in daily is what you're going to start accepting normally. It will be. I promise you that. What you get used to. The sin that we see around us today wasn't so prevalent today or in the 50s as it is today. It's more, what do they say, it's more accepted today than it was back then. See, it's archaic when you say back then. People say the same things about NIV and these other versions of the Bible. It's more accepted today than it was back then. Well, if it was right back then, what makes it wrong today? If it's God's word. And what I'm saying by that, if you're listening to different people, different snippets on the radio, and you know what I see? I hear a lot of commentaries say, they'll say, well, the King James Bible says this, but I see it more correctly here in the NIV when it says it like this. You know what happens to Christians if they hear that over and over and over? You know what it'll do to you and it'll do to me? Cast out. What's the very first thing that Satan tried to take out of the Garden of Eden? God's word. He tried to change God's word. And he fell for it. We're not careful, we'll fall for it. You say, well, what's wrong with that?
If you stop standing on the standard, you have no standard. And then the devil's like, got it. Got it. Say, oh, I like listening to this, I like doing that. You better be careful. You see how these people were attacked here? Number one, in spirit. Number two, in word. What was being said? Be careful what you listen to. Most of what we hear on the radio and TV and what have you is another person's opinion. You got to be careful with people's opinions. Stay with God's word. Number three, letter. That which is written. Be careful what you read. You think about how many books are in the world. I was thinking about it like that, Brother Finley. There's so many books in the world. Knowledge. Is there anything wrong with knowledge? I want to know things. No, there's nothing wrong with knowledge. But if we spend our time reading things that may not be right versus what is right, then we've misprioritized our time. You think about your brain, I think there's only so much it can hold, and I'd say most of us probably aren't using all of what we have to its capacity. But if we're spending time filling it with nonsense versus what is fact and truth, we're not prioritizing our time right.
You see, this is how these people, this is how they were being attacked. You look at it today, it's no different. A lot of what we have today is more so media-based, I'd say video-based. But you're seeing what it says here again. By spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, that the day of Christ is at hand.
He's saying it's to come. It hasn't happened yet.
He's putting them at mind. He's putting them at peace, saying, listen, we've already taught about this. We taught about this in the first letter, but let's just go back and be clear that these things are not going to happen until this. And we get to verse number three. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there be a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. And that's where I really started my study, where my heart began, is and talking to friends this week, talking about the conditions of and shapes that churches are in, talking about the falling away. The falling away has been taking place for a long time. But in my lifetime, I don't know that I've seen less interest than I have in this day and time.
There's more excuses not to come to church than there ever has been.
I mean, I tell you, it affects my heart. You know, I understand about being safe, and I know that. I understand that. I wouldn't be against that, but I think it's given people an excuse not to come. When people say, I can't go here because I might get sick, and they're the first person you see at Walmart, something's wrong. You understand what I'm saying? I understand the use of it.
Use of it if a person is sick and I don't want you to get the flu, I don't want you to get this or that or whatever, and I have the flu right now, I don't want you to get it. I get that. But to say that it's like the people think this is the place you go to get sick. That's not the case. This is the place you go to get help. This is where our help is at, our spiritual help, and you can't be afraid of it. Be away from it. You see and understand what he's saying here, that falling away, there's more excuses and reasons. Well, I'll just watch it on TV. You know, I had a friend today, or this week, we had a 3-hour conversation about Facebook and church. I thought, this is interesting, and it's been out long enough, people have been using it long enough, that it's nothing new in my mind, it's new in this person's mind, because the church is thinking about starting to use it. I said, all right, let's hear it. What's the pros and the cons? And I said, well, pros, it's a great way of outreach. You're reaching out to people that you probably wouldn't get because they're not here. But again, that's sometimes using a crutch that could be here, should be here, based on what we learned in Hebrews, should be here. So you have that part of it. So there's the evangelizing, the going out, what have you. He said, but do you find that but has your attendance fallen off? And I said, well, I don't fully know. I explained the transition of our church. I said, I think we're doing good as far as that goes, but there probably could be more. I said, okay, understand, fair enough. And I said, now let's talk about the negatives of it. Miss Betty, I really thought a lot about this. I really have. Because when you look at it, you know, that camera's running. It's like being on TV. What if I misspeak? What if I say something wrong? What if I turn somebody off just by misspeaking and that's the only service that they hear? What if that's a hindrance and they don't come back? things like that? What if it's almost like mainstream media right now? Mainstream radio. A lot of times radio is playing and you're not really, you might pick up a little bit or whatever, but it's just mainstream. And you know what happens with mainstream? You quit listening to it. You don't really pay attention to it. It's not what, it's not being used as the way that you want it to be used. You get the songs that you like, the way the world is set up now, you get the songs you like, and you listen to them over and over and over. You don't have to listen to the radio until that one song comes on to hear it. You just go straight to it. We're not careful. That's what Facebook is going to be. People just quit listening to it. Then you think about it too, the importance of, competition.
Well, they do it like this here. They do it like that there.
And you know, you ask, I was talking to him, do people play up to the camera or people play down to the camera? Well, there's a lot of different things you can look at.
Would somebody have moved and went and prayed versus, I said, well, we don't do it like that, but I want you to think about that. Think about how things have changed. Think about the falling away. You would think that would entice people to come in. That looks like a good church. Let's go there. But it's not really happening that way, is it? It's more of an excuse not to come. Let no man deceive you by any means, that day shall not come. It's not going to happen except there be a falling away first. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter number 4. 1 Timothy chapter number 4. Verses 1 through 3. Talking about a departing from the faith. Basically creating their own type of religion, law. If you look at this, I think you'll see it lines up pretty well with Catholicism or that papal system. It says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with the hot iron. And it goes on to forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. But if you look back at those first two verses, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. You know, we're talking about spirits just a minute ago, and giving heed to those. I see here, I've seen a few videos on this, and one of my friends that I was talking to, he kind of gave into this what we were talking about in our conversation. You know, there is absolutely the difference. There is a difference between a pastor and a hireling. There's a very big difference. Brother James, you and I talked a little bit or what have you, and that was so interesting because one of my friend, he was talking about this. It's not a career choice. It's a calling. It's not something that you just try this out and go here for a while or try that out. It is absolutely not like that. You say, preacher, you're all over the place this morning. I am, but that's okay. I'm okay with that. I want to get this out. I want to get this where it's supposed to be. But when you see the difference here, what you're seeing is what you're having a lot of times here is people willing to do anything to fill up here, and that's not how it's going. That's not how it can be. If this is full of non-believers that's not hearing the word of God, then this means nothing. It's just numbers. And that's not what it's about. I'm concerned about your spiritual growth. If you have 10 people here that are spiritually growing, that blesses my heart. But when you're talking about a fall away, what I'm concerned about is this full, half hearing what they want to hear, and asleep the rest of the time. And that's not where we want to be. You see what we think about the falling away, when you see the falling away in God's word, how many of you do you think, that's me? Oh, I'm falling away. It's talking to me. Or do you think, no, it's that church down there. It's that church over there that's having some problems. It's that church down the street. It's that church I heard about on Facebook. Do you look at it and say, that
to myself just as much as anybody else.
But that falling away is going to take place. What you see here with the hireling, let's go to John chapter number 10. When I see reoccurring themes throughout the week, sometimes I take that as the Lord saying, preach on that. Preach on that. John chapter number 10, verses 12 and 13. If you know this chapter, this is talking about the Good Shepherd. Written in red, we know it's the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. He's giving an illustration that he himself is the good shepherd. He is the one that can be trusted. He is the one that's going to be there for the sheep and take care of the sheep. He's the one that loves them. He is the door. You see that many times in these verses here. He's the door. He's the only way in and out. And he also gives the definition of a hireling. Verse 11, I'll start there. It says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Again, you see the gospel that is being displayed there. It's one that's going to stand and fight, not tuck and run. It's going to take care of the sheep. I want you to know this morning, even wrote it down in my notes, not that I had to, but I wanted to make a special note of this. I care about you. I care about your hearts. I care about your minds. I care about what you're facing. I care about what you're dealing with. I know the things that I'm dealing with sometimes myself, and I'm thinking, I'm not the only one. But I want you, as my church, our church, to know that I love you and I appreciate you. Your faithfulness means everything to me. To come in and on Wednesday night, especially come in and preach on the importance of being here, that's not the night to do it. That's the night to love you and thank you for being here. That's the base, and I appreciate that. I appreciate your faithfulness. More importantly, God does. He's the one that matters. It's not my opinion again, it's his. But I want us to see the difference here. Verse number 12. But he that is an hireling is not the shepherd, whose own is the sheep or not. Seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he's an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I want you to know this morning, I care for you. When I think about you through the week, I try to stop and pray. When the Lord lays you on my heart, I try to stop and pray for you because I have a feeling you're probably going through something in that moment. It's amazing, Brother Dale, how that happens, and you know. That's one of the sweetest cards I've ever received in my life. When something is going on, it's amazing how God creates that bond and creates that tie. And he says, you know what, this person is going through something. Just text them, just call them. God knows how to do that. If you're willing to follow the Spirit. But he's saying here again, I want us to see and understand and know the difference between a hireling and one that's going to tell you the truth. I would rather have somebody tell me the truth than lie to me, even if it hurts. Then here's the thing, this is the mentality of the day, but if you tell them the truth and they get mad, they won't come back. I can't help that. At least you heard the truth one time. I'll go with that. There's a difference in a career choice and a calling. I'm telling you, it's different. When you think about it, I told Brandy, she's going through her first experience as a supervisor now, and I thank the Lord for it. Because I try to explain to her the difference. It's not just you. You say, honey, just go in there and keep your head down. I can't keep my head down. I got six other heads I got to make sure are covered. Now she gets to see that and experience. It's different. It's one thing to carry what you have for yourself and try to make the best decisions you have for yourself. But it's different when you have other people coming to you and you cannot give them your opinion. You give them the Word of God. My opinion can lead you wrong. As much as I care about you, I can lead you wrong through my opinion. What I try to give you, without question, I'm just being honest with you, is what the Word of God says. I want you to see that and to know that and to have that. If I give you something, it's not out of being mean or contentious or anything like that, but it's just what the Bible says. It's important of knowing what the truth is and what it means. This day and time, you have false teachers that try to tell people what they want to hear, and it's never fixing the problem. It's lulling the congregation to sleep.
We need to be awake. We need to be vigilant. Have our head on a swivel and awake and seeing what the Lord wants for us. Again, verse number 3 says, "But let no man deceive you by any means, that that day shall not come except there be a falling away first." If this is not a falling away, I don't know where we're at. I think that's where the red dot is on our timeline, the falling away. I think there's less concern in this day and time than I've seen probably in my lifetime. And then it says here, "And then the man of sin will be revealed." Then the Antichrist will be revealed. If you read this in context, the Antichrist will be revealed before the rapture takes place. The son of perdition. There's more that could be read there in Daniel chapter number 7 and Revelation chapter number 13 if you want to go back. But time is running out. I'm going to close here. I just want to read these last verses. Verses 5 through 12. I said, "Preacher, why are you really pushing on this? Why is it this way?" I want you to see what happens after the rapture. I want you to see and understand now is the time. If you're here lost and you're this morning, or here lost and here, I want you to see this and understand this. Verse number 5, it says, "Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time." Talking about the Lord himself holding back the Antichrist, the Spirit that is here, the Holy Spirit is here with us. It's withholding back the Antichrist, but when the church is caught out, that Spirit goes with it. "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work," we see that. "Only he who now letteth will let until he will be taken out of the way." Let, that means to be holding back. The Holy Spirit is what is holding back the Antichrist today, and when we are caught out and the Holy Spirit takes us out, we go with him, he goes with us, there's nothing holding back the Antichrist. "And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs of lying wonders." Pay attention to these last verses. "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish." See, what I see now more than ever is this pushback. You call it pride, you call it love, you can call it whatever you want to. It leads to being reprobate, is what God's word says in Romans chapter number 1. That's what it leads to. But it's talking about this pushback. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. They pushed it back. They kept pushing it back. Now look what happens in verse number 11. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. You know, reading that verse has always amazed me of something. God has his lines. He has those. I don't. He's the one who has his lines. Did you know if you push God back far enough and you keep pushing him back far enough, this teaches that he will stop knocking on your heart's door? And then after the rapture takes place, after this takes place, you'll be deceived. You either want the truth or you don't want the truth. You're either awake and taking the truth in or falling away and sleeping through it. That's where we're at today. That's what's taking place. That's where we are. "And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." I'm going to close with this morning. If you're here this morning and God is speaking to you, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, today is your chance. I don't know God's timeline. I'm not going to stand here and say, I'm not going to try to scare you one way or another. I'm like the doctor that's telling you this is the prognosis. This is what it is. I don't know how much time you or I have. But you've got a chance today. You've got the opportunity today. If you will stand with me, I'll ask the ladies to come.